You stupid bitch. Yeah, you're a stupid bitch. You stupid bitch.
Welcome to this week's episode of Stupid Bitches Say What, the Aussie podcast about everything and nothing, but always with wine. And your hosts, Skylee Collett, Sean Hipkins. And this week, we have an extra special guest joining us. You may remember during our September What's the Haps episode, we talked about an Aussie gentleman with a unique occupation as a coffin confessor.
Bill Edgar started his journey by attending a funeral and revealing some secrets about the deceased based on their wishes and has now turned this into a career. He is the only person in the world to claim this type of employment, and we are excited to say that he reached out to us recently after hearing our segment on him and his unique job description and joins us live to set the record straight and give us the full unedited version.
But first, what pray tell are you drinking, Bill, aka the Coffin Confessor?
Hey, g'day, guys. Hey, listen, what I drink is I drink port, all right? I've only ever drank port. Wow. Now and then I might have a beer, but I mean, usually it's port. And I tell you what, it's not grandfather port because that's $120 a bottle. It's actually father port, which is half the price. But you know what? I drink it and I've drank it for the last, I'd say 20, 30 years I've drank port and I enjoy it. And it's something that I'll continue to do. And when I get cremated and thrown in the ocean, I'm being followed by a bottle of port.
But perfect.
I'd really like to know what are you bitches drinking tonight?
Well, I never thought you'd ask. Thank you, Bill. So tonight I am drinking a Cab Sav, my favorite red. And it's a Sorby Adams Barossa 2019, if you will, Sky. It's pretty ritzy for us, right?
That is. That's fancy.
Usually it's 2023 or 22.
Listen to that thunder.
And it's fucking delicious. It's nice and smooth. How about you, stupid bitch? What are you drinking?
Okay, so I am drinking. I got a special bottle for tonight. I went a little bit higher than what I would normally spend, and I spent $24. But it's normally $32. It was on special. So let's just say I spent $32, shall we?
Fuck it.
It's Forrester Estate 2023, so totally in the wine womb, Sauvignon Blanc from the Margaret River. It's got a couple of awards on here, Perth Royal Trophy and Perth Royal Gold. So woo-woo.
So they like it in WA then, huh?
Yeah, and I've been hanging to have a sip and I've waited. I had a cheeky different wine before we started just to, calm the nerves a bit. But I'm going to have my first sip.
So you're glad you lashed out on this bottle of wine then, are you?
It's a bit grassy.
Oh. Grassy.
It's okay, it'll do. It's had worse bottles than that before.
Well, cheers. Cheers, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Obviously, you are our very... Yeah, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Other than our husbands on Stupid Bitches Say What. So welcome to the show. This is very exciting for us, and we want to thank you so much for agreeing to chat to us.
Yes, thanks so much.
Yeah, look, I say yes to everyone because they're kind to reach out and everything. The only person I've said no to is some producer who reached out from Joe Rogan and I told him to fuck off
because
I didn't know who they were.
Oh.
And then I got told it's Joe Rogan and I'm like, well, if Joe Rogan wants to talk to me, he can contact me himself. I don't
know. He can reach
out.
Yeah,
very cool.
I love it. I love it. Love your attitude. So to summarise from what we know, you basically attend people's funerals and wakes and share their secrets or information that they want people to know after they've passed. Obviously, there's so much more to the story than that. And how about you tell us in your words what it is you actually do?
Okay. So I tell those that were loved how much they were loved and those my clients hate to fuck off. I basically crash the funeral on behalf of the deceased.
I love it. It's such a great idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got to say, it's an idea that came as a joke. I just told a dying man that I'd crash his funeral for him and he took me up on the offer.
Bless. Yeah. How long ago was that?
He died in 2018. But then we had 2 years of COVID, remember? No one could attend a funeral. So it was pretty rough for a lot of people, really.
That's all right, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Wow, see, I thought you'd been doing it for a lot longer for some reason. For some reason, I thought you just, this was just this hidden thing that you did for like the last 10 years. So I guess it's rather recent then, isn't it?
Well, when you think about it, in 2018, 19, 20, I'd done probably 10, 15, you know, and then we had the 2 years of COVID, and now I've done probably close to 70. But that's not all funeral crashes. I mean, yeah, so, but I also do, you know, I crash wakes, will readings, I do face-to-face. I also deliver gifts from the afterlife. And nice. I do home sweeps where I go to people's homes and I remove sensitive items that they don't want their family and friends to find.
Yeah, so I remember reading about that and thinking, God, that was such an important fucking task that some people would need doing.
Yeah, I had
you'd be surprised.
Yeah,
I had a friend who once asked me if anything happened, if I could do a sweep of their house for them.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And you've got to do it. I mean, at the end of the day, people have so, you know, like we've all got a skeleton in the closet, right?
Exactly.
Everyone's got a secret. And you know, like yourself, you and your husband or your wife and all that, you know your own little secrets. And even those have secrets from each other. But at the end of the day, you could die while you're at work. You don't want your fucking family turning up at your house, going through all your shit and saying, oh, look what he was into. Or,
boxes of dildos, strap-ons. Yeah.
Yeah, they can all get fucked.
No, it's funny. I had to do a sweep for a friend who got deported from England. I had to go up into her room and look under the bed and pull out all the toys for her before the new person moved in.
I mean, that's cool though, isn't it? At least you had someone to do that for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's
save
it.
Save the shame. I mean,
how are you finding the humidity in Brisbane?
I live on the Gold Coast, believe it or not. I have a place on Tambourine Mountain.
Oh, nice.
But I do travel
no
a lot.
Way!
So, yeah. So, my wife and I have a property here on Tambourine Mountain with horses and all that. So, we enjoy the Gold Coast. But, yeah, I do travel quite a lot with my work being the only coffin confessor on the planet.
Of course. There's some great wineries up there too.
Yeah,
Witches Falls
totally.
Is a nice one.
Yeah, there's a lot. Witches Falls is pretty cool. Yeah. They've got a new gin house up here too, which is really nice.
Oh, wow. Excellent. I'm not much of a gin fan, I have to say. It's probably the one spirit that makes me vomit as soon as it hits my guts.
I think it's more the, I don't go for the gin because I snavel in a bit of port when I go anywhere, but it's the food. I like the food.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all about the food and the people, the atmosphere.
Excellent. Yeah. And beautiful views up there too.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah.
So while you're speaking of the port, quick question, what's the difference between a grandfather and a father port? Is it the age or besides the price?
About $80. look, one's 20 years, one's 10 years.
Okay, right. Excellent.
But at the end of the day, it's just, it comes down. I mean, obviously, it comes down to price as well. I mean, we can't all sit back and you know, smoke a cigar and drink the most expensive shit that we'd really like to. I started off on $8 ports. I mean, now I'm onto a $30-$40 port. So.
That's us with our wines. We thought we were classy when we moved from $10 to $15.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm with you. My wife used to drink Gossip at $3 a bottle. Now she's on fucking, she's on some other fucking wine that's $14 a bottle. I'm going, hang up there, dude.
Yeah,
where are you going?
Feeling fancy as fuck with it, too. I love it.
$14, that's more our range. That's more where we sit at, like the $14 to the $20 range, you know.
Apparently the best wine in fucking Australia just got awarded the world's fucking thing for under $20 or whatever. So, I mean, we're doing all right.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think
you can
really.
Which one is that?
That's at Shiraz that Tyler posted. In that group.
Right. Tyler's my husband, by the way.
Okay.
But yeah, can you really actually taste the difference between a $50 bottle of wine and a $10 bottle?
You know what? At the end of the day, if it makes you feel good, it gives a fuck.
Do what you do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I've always been that way in life. Do what you do. Do whatever you want. As long as you're not hurting anybody, it don't fucking matter.
Exactly. Including yourself, then go for it.
Oh, my God. We are the same. We totally agree.
One of our sayings is chill out and have a fucking barbecue.
That's it, did I?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
All right, Sky.
Okay, so next question. Bill, who were you before you were the coffin confessor? When we first started chatting, you mentioned drinking a glass of port on your farm. Are you a country boy? Tell us a bit about your family life.
Oh, do you want to hear this? I mean, my dreams would probably haunt your nightmares. at the end of the day, I've got to say I'm a Gold Coast boy. I was, you know, born and risen on the Gold Coast. So I you know, if you want to go deep and dark to start with, on my it was my 8th birthday. The night before my 8th birthday, I was introduced into rape, molestation, abuse, and everything else. And then on the day of my 8th birthday, I was given a bike by the person that abused, raped, and abused me.
God.
By the age of 12, I'd won a scholarship to the one of the most lucrative and well-known boarding schools in Australia called the Southport School, TSS, and I lived in government housing. I was dyslexic, unable to read, write, and spell up until the age of 30.
Wow.
I've got to say that I was preyed upon and abused there. I left and ran away from home and school at the age of 14, lived on the streets until I was 18, stole a school uniform and went into a school at the age of 15 and met a girl who's now my wife, and we've been together for 40 years.
Oh, that's lovely.
Awesome. Yeah, she saved me.
I'm really so sorry you had to go through that.
Oh, look, it is what it is, mate. You know, at the end of the day, if I hadn't have gone to Boggo Road Jail and all those other places, I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, I regret a lot of things in life, but we all have regrets and we all have a story. I'm just able to tell mine. And if mine helps other people, then great. And if it doesn't, I couldn't give a fuck either way. You know what I mean?
But
it's my story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And look at you now. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I just got to show people that it doesn't matter where you've been and where you come from, it's where you're going to end up. Yeah. And my main message to everybody is never, ever forget where you come from. That's the most important thing in life. Never forget where you come from. So that way you keep humble. And you keep your own respect and integrity and fuck everything else, because it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says about you. At the end of the day, it's all about you and your journey.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps, Bill.
Yeah.
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 Thank you for sharing that with us.
And now you're living like on a farm at Mount Tambourine. That's the dream, right? I would love to live on a farm. I'd be terrible at it. Like, I couldn't do anything, you know, like I'm not good at heavy lifting. I'm very weak-wristed. Sort of like that lifestyle.
You know what? My wife says to me 10 years ago, she says, look, there's a property on Tambourine Mountain. I really like it. It's 10 acres. I come out and had a look at it, went, no fucking way. I'm buying a job. There's no way I'm buying a job.
You're not mowing 10 acres.
I'm like, fuck me, Dad. Look at all the shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And she says, no, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be good. And I'm like, no fucking way. And then I thought, if it's something she really wants and really, you know, and craves for, and she's always loved horses and that, you know, and I said to her, look, and I promised her, I actually promised her when we were kids that I would have a kitchen window that looked out onto horses. And you know what? We fucking did it.
Nice.
And I was so grateful to do that for her. So, you know, that's awesome. 10 years since, I've become a bit of a farmer and I'm pretty good at it. And I've got to say, I fucking love it because I haven't got a neighbor. My closest neighbor is probably, I don't know, be about 2Ks away.
I love that. Wow. So you can get have a session on the board, play your tunes, and sing your fucking heart.
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, sing your heart out without any complaints. I love it.
And if the police, fireys or ambulance ever come down, it's always to say, oh, we were just wondering if anyone lived here or if you're okay. Yeah. I'm like, we're fine.
Everything's
good. I love it. It's fucking great. Yeah, yeah.
So what
I'm
do you
so
have?
Jealous.
On the, what do you have on the farm again?
Oh, we got horses. So my wife and my wife's an avid horse rider. Unfortunately, 2 years ago, she had a very severe accident. It nearly killed her, and she's just learnt to walk again.
Oh, wow.
But she's she's fucking writing again too. So, I mean, you know, fantastic. At the end of the day, you got to keep doing what you love doing. Otherwise, you know, you'd sit in front of the fucking TV and just watch Netflix all your life. Wallow. Who wants to do that?
Yeah. Look, I don't mind doing that on a Sunday when I'm hungover as fuck. I'm not going to lie.
I might be doing that. Oh, yeah, I might be doing that tomorrow morning after all these.
Cheers, cheers.
Look, and that's how it always ends. That's why we do a double podcast on a Friday, because we found it was taking over our life a little bit. So, and especially to our partners. So we started doing a double, but so, in some ways it's worse because by the time we've had the second bottle of wine each, we're shit-faced. Yeah.
And we don't go to bed.
That's right.
And there's no hope for us on Saturday.
Yeah. What's your favourite Glee musical clip?
Fortunately, I'm the first guest then. I fucking fear the other one.
Yeah. Oh, God, imagine if we did have a double tonight. Fuck.
God, it would be insane.
So the reason I actually did a story or a segment on your story during that What's a Haps episode is after I heard your interview on Nova FM a few months ago. I heard the story. I thought, this is perfect. And I see you have a book. You've done TED Talks, interviews on Insight. And I'm sure there's been many, many other appearances that you've done. But have you always had this much exposure and interest in what you do?
Probably not as much, but I do. I got to say, I'm a private investigator, so right. I'm very private, and I have a private life in that respect. But I got to say, I set myself up very well in my careers, because as a PI, I don't do what other PIs do. You know, where they follow the wife or the husband. And if you're going to phone me and say, "Oh, look, can you follow my husband or wife?" I'm just going to tell you straight out. If you're going to phone a PI and get them to do that, they're already screwing around on you. So fuck off.
And the trust is gone in the relationship. Yeah, so, exactly. You know.
Just use find my friend and see where they're at.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what I did is I went to, I heard that there was a manager's CEO's hotel convention. And I went to this convention in Brisbane. And I went and met a lot of CEOs from all these, you know, huge hotels. And I went up and I'd say to them, "You know what? I know what's going on in your hotel. I know who's thieving. I know what's going on. And if you give me 6 weeks, I'll give you all the information." And they go, "Yeah, whatever, you know." But one bloke took me up on it, and it was from a very lucrative hotel.
Nice.
And he took me up on the offer. And in 4 weeks, what I did is I impersonated a security guard. So I'd work at the hotel for 4 weeks as a security guard. And I'd talk to the night shift blokes, and I'd go, "Fuck, I'm hungry." And they go, "Oh, look, we know how to get food." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Geez, I need some new bedding for my bed at home." They go, yeah, "We know how to get sheets as well. You go into..." So I learned all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Then I go back to the GM and I say, "Look, this is the information. Take it or leave it. Where's my 12 grand? Give me my 12 grand for 4 weeks' work." And then I fuck off.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden I was getting work from fucking places around Australia.
Yeah.
And it was great. And you know what? Those people stealing and doing shit, it wasn't like it was a one-off bloke or woman that were hard up. These were organised fucking crime. And I couldn't give a fuck about those people. And I met a lot of people that were down and out, and they'd steal a bit of food for their fucking husband or wife or kids. I'd let them go. Because to me, that's not a crime. You know, okay, it is a crime, but in my eyes it wasn't. You know what I mean? They're trying to fucking get by. They're doing their job, and it wasn't a major crime. And most of the time, they were taking home leftovers. So they didn't worry. I did that for around 12 years. I did that.
Wow.
You know? So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Cool. It would be quite the scoop when you do it too, wouldn't it? Look what I found. It's not just a bog roll they're taking home or anything like that. Yeah.
I have to say, I'm so glad you're our first guest, because seriously, you're just like us dropping the F-bomb
So I saw a quick clip of your TED talk where you say, when you crash your funeral, you get up and say, I'm the coffin confessor, sit down, shut up, or fuck off. Is that actually how you open every service that you provide?
Every service. One of them, whether it's good. And I've got to say, whether it's good, bad, funny, or sad, it doesn't matter. That's my entrance.
Yeah. I love it. It's quite catchy.
I'll go to funerals. Well, it is, because I'll go to funerals and I'll sit amongst family and friends and I'll pretend to be one of the mourners. And sometimes I'm not pretending because I get to know these people quite well. I get to know their secrets, their desires, their passions, their fantasies, all before they die. So I get to hold their secrets, which is a really powerful thing for me.
Yeah.
And so when I'm sitting amongst the family and at a specific time, I get told to stand up and say something. I always, always, always open with, excuse me, my name's Bill Edgar, I am the coffin confessor. Sit down, shut up, or fuck off. It's your loved one in the coffin. Let's hear what they've got to say. I'm only the messenger.
And what can people actually do to that? Yeah, you can't really go, no, can you? Like, it's the person that you're seeing that's gone, giving out their secrets.
Well, you'd be surprised for you, and I'll turn around and say, just shut up and listen to what you have to say, all right? And most of the crowd, because I've learned very early to get the crowd on my side, so I get the crowd on my side by saying, it is your loved one. How about we listen to what they have to say?
Yeah.
You know, and they'll go, yeah, fuck yeah, let's listen. Shut up. Let's listen to him, you know. So I'll start reading out exactly. Half the fucking crowd already know that person. Then they already know them, and they'll get up and fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just leave. And I'm like, yeah, sweet. I could
imagine that as soon as you say that, there's a few people that sit there shaking in their fucking boots going, oh, fuck, what's coming out? It's about me, isn't it? It's about me.
Yeah. I think that's really shameful, though. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine going to someone's funeral and knowing that I've done them wrong in any type of way and actually being present to sit through that. Like, I'm very much, Bino and I are both the same. Like, live and let live, you know, always do good. But some people aren't like that, right?
I think the problem is, and I've got to be honest with you, the issue is that funerals, before I come along, have always been for the living. To attend a funeral and to be there for themselves, not the deceased.
Yeah.
And it's basically to cleanse their own feelings. Mm-hmm. My very first client was Graham. Now, Graham said to me, if my brother, my sister and their daughter attend my funeral, I want you to tell them to stand up and fuck off. I haven't seen them in 30 years. So how dare they attend my funeral when they couldn't have seen me in the 30 years that I was alive? Now, I had no problem doing that because I thought to myself, I thought, if any of the fucking bastards in my family turn up to my funeral, they're going to be there for themselves, not for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can fuck off as well. You know, how dare people do this?
Yeah.
So I think we've got to stop disrespecting the people in the coffin and only turn up to a funeral if you're genuinely a friend or a family or a loved one of that person. Otherwise, just fuck off and stay away.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah. And like, as you were saying with Graham, he was dying at the time when he told you and was on his deathbed.
Very vulnerable position to be in too. Like, that's a really, you know, difficult time for everybody to go through, seeing that looming ahead of you.
But there's also that opportunity for people knowing that he's passing and they have that opportunity to see him while they're still alive and they choose not to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I guess I got to say, we're all guilty of knowing somebody that we thought was, you know, a great person all of a sudden and we're friends with them. Then all of a sudden we drop off the radar a bit. And then all of a sudden we hear they died and we went, oh, fuck. I didn't even pick up the phone to say g'day.
Yeah.
And we're all guilty of that. And I've got to say, I'm guilty of that. I knew a bloke that I'd known for, say, 10 years. And I'd phone him up every couple of months and say, how you doing? How's the family? You know. And then 6 months went by and I didn't actually call him. I didn't even think of him. And then all of a sudden I got a text off his son saying, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And because of Facebook, it happens so often because we see people on Facebook or social media and we go, oh, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're all right. They don't need me.
Yeah. And your interaction is liking a picture or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you get to that, you know, that space where you go, oh, they died. What do you mean? Yeah. I just fucking liked their picture the other day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought they were doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is.
Well, you know what? He had cancer for 6 months and he died. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny that you say that funerals are for the living, though, because Bino and I have this thing where we already know what is going to happen at each other's funeral. Like, see, I want people to come in. I want people to have shots at the door before. And if they don't have that shot when they come in, they got to go away. If they're not going to come in and celebrate my life and dress in crazy outlandish outfits and have the music playing while the service is happening, like, it, I think, you know, it has to be about the person as well.
Exactly.
They're the one who's passed on. They're the one who had to look death in the eye and move
it's your
on
funeral
with all that fear. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not, I don't think it's for the living. I think it should be for the person who's passed. And if you can't handle what needs to be said, then
fuck
get
off.
On your bike,
there
mate.
You go. Yeah. It was interesting what you said before too, when you were saying how you feel empowered when they give you their secrets and all that stuff that's on the deathbed.
Yeah.
It must be so liberating for them as well to actually just fucking
release
all that information before they go, well, knowing they're not taking it to their grave.
Well, yeah, and I got to say, I never thought I'd become the keeper of secrets in such a way that it's become such a trusting and it is trust. I mean, people trust me to hold on to their secrets until they go, until their funeral. I mean, you know, recently one lady, and it was very hard for her to come forward. And I can imagine she had nobody to come forward to except myself. And I'm the only person on the planet she actually reached out to. And I said to her, well, what is it that you want to say? And she says, well, look, I want you to tell my son that I'm not his mother. I'm his grandmother. His wife, his sister is his mother. And his father's his grandfather. And I'm like, holy shit. What? So you're telling me that your husband raped your daughter and that was the conceiving of your son? And she said, yeah.
Jesus,
and I'm like, oh, man.
Christ. Yeah.
And what a secret to hold, though.
That's deep.
You know?
Yeah.
But then when you confront that guy and you tell him, he turns around and goes, that's why I'm so fucked up. I knew there was a reason.
Yeah.
I knew there was a secret. Why didn't she tell me? And that's what I try to tell people before they go. Why don't you reach out to them? Why don't you tell them? And they're like, you know what? It's too late. I'm on my deathbed. I'm going.
Yeah.
I need somebody to do it for me, and I don't want it to be a family or friend because they won't fucking do it. So I need you to do it, and I know you'll do it.
Yeah.
But that's a bit of a burden on you, right? Like, for you to have to take that on and know that there's a better way to sort of get that message across, but knowing that that's their dying wish and you've committed to that. So you've got to see it through. Like, wow, that's a huge burden to have to carry around, I think.
I get paid well to do it. So that keeps the money where they're going. And I never get a complaint either.
Bet you do. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, five-star reviews all around.
Insight, they don't need the money where they're going. And I was like, fucking hope they don't. Like that. They don't need the cash. They're not going to be buried with it. Or some people do, I guess.
Oh, I tell you what, just recently, my last, and I'll share this with you guys. One of my last clients, he's a very wealthy man. He gave a lot to charity. He gave a lot to a lot of people. But he had some certain items that he wanted to take with him. And as we know, you can't take anything with you, nothing. But he gave me a bag and he said, look, he says, I want you to bury this in a place no one will ever find it. And I'm like, where the fuck do you bury something no one will ever find?
On your farm. On your farm.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I came up with some fucking ideas and I was like, no. Even on my farm, I thought, nah, because you know what? It's just, it's got to be a place that no one will find it. So what I did on the day of his funeral, I got the grave digger to lower me into his grave. I dug a hole. Buried it there, and when the coffin laid on top, that was it. That was the perfect place to
love it.
Put it.
It went with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what was in the bag?
So they were okay with that? The grave digger was okay with it?
After I gave him a few hundred bucks,
Money talks, doesn't it?
It's all about the money, nothing else. You know, it's all about the money. Everybody's got a price. You know, and at the end of the day, the guy was great. I mean, he lowered me in there. And I did what I had to do. And he yells out to me. He says, I'll be back in a minute. And I'm like, fuck off, mate. You've just lowered me into a grave. And I tell you now, graves
don't
are not 6 foot down. They're more than fucking 6 foot down because I'm 6 foot two. And I'm telling you, they're fucking a lot longer. This was like 8 foot.
Your head wasn't popping
and
over
there was
the
no
top.
Way out.
Yeah.
No. But I did manage to have a bit of a lay down and a rethink and a bit of a cathartic experience while I was in the graveyard, you know, and I thought, you know, but why the fuck people want to get buried in graveyards? I mean, I keep thinking to myself, fuck that. I want to go out in the ocean or space.
Sky's got a theory about this.
I want to be a skeleton, right? I don't want to be cremated. Like, I like to think that if an apocalypse ever happened, that my bones will rise to the surface. But
a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse. Yeah. But if I'm really, really honest about it, if I had the money when I go, I want to be buried in Oktoberfest, because that is like, have you ever been to Germany? Have you ever been to Oktoberfest?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's full on. Absolutely.
But it's like, but, it's like Disneyland for adults, and I want my skeleton to be underneath that place so that everyone parties on top of it to the end of time. That's where I
want. So you just want a real boner before you go.
Exactly. Literally.
And I don't want to be ash. I want to be a skeleton. I want someone to dig me up one day and go, oh, look at her. She drunk a lot. You can tell from her teeth.
Look at that on
fuck that. I want to be ash. I want to be put in the ocean, and I want parts of my ashes to be put in certain people's drinks. So when they're drinking it, they have no fucking idea.
Bill, you know, this is what my request with my friends is. I want to be cremated, and I want them to put fucking some of my ashes in a joint and smoke me.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
That's my request. And if I go before you do, then you've got to make sure that happens.
I've asked that my coffin goes into the furnace and it's filled with fireworks before it goes in.
Nice.
Oh my god, every time we ask you a question there's like 1,000 more questions that we want to ask. It's like we're only like a tiny bit through the questions that we wanted to ask you. This is gonna go forever. Okay, so do you ever get nervous about some of the things that you're going to say or being in a confronting situation? Because I know I would get really freaked out. Like, I can be in a confronting situation when it's really, really important to me and I can, you know, stand up for myself, but when I'm standing up for other people, I don't know. I think I'd be a little bit anxious about that. How do you overcome that? Or do you ever feel like, whoa, what I have to say is so intense? Am I going to be able to deliver this message?
I've got to say, I have no care or concern for those left behind. It's all about the person in the coffin. So I really don't give a fuck about those. I'll say what my client has told me to say. It's all written down in a letter for me. So I read exactly their words. It's not my words, it's theirs. And whether it's good, bad, funny or sad, I couldn't give a fuck. Yeah. If people get offended
the emotion
or
from
they
it
cry.
Completely.
Oh, totally, totally. I've got no emotion. I couldn't give a fuck. You know, I may think like a psychopath, but I'm not a psychopath.
Yeah. You've been conditioned that way through your life. Yeah. Do you, so since you've come out as a coffin confessor and people are now knowing a lot more about what you do and stuff, do you see any cultural or societal trends that influence the demand for more coffin confessors? Like, do you have any competition out there that started to arise since you've made it public and done all your appearances and whatnot?
I've got to say, I've got probably, there'd probably be 8,500 resumes that I've been sent, people wanting to do it. And I've got to say that it's not for the faint of heart or those that fear. It takes someone special to do it. And I don't say I'm special. I'm just saying that I'm just the type of person. At this stage, I'm not about to just let anybody do it.
Yeah.
So I just continue to do it and go globally. It's not a job that I do every week either or every fortnight. I mean, I might do one a month or I might do three a month and then all of a sudden you've got nothing for the next 2 months. But at the end of the day, these people that are dying or knocking on death's door, and I've got a lot of clients that aren't even – I've got 14,000 people that have reached out that aren't even close to death.
Jesus.
Right? Wow. But they're all telling me their stories and what they want. Now, at the end of the day, I got to say to you, it takes a special person to listen and hold on to their secrets because I don't believe that a lot of people can do that. I believe a lot of people will share those secrets before that person's gone. And that's a scary thought for me. I don't want those secrets revealed until that person goes. Now, I have a contract, a written contract with my client. I have a video with my client. And I also get to own their stories after they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, that means after they're gone. I'm not going to use it before they're gone. So, you know, that would just screw my whole business up as trust and integrity. So it's something that I hold dearly, and I don't believe a lot of people could do that because some of the stories I know, which I can't reveal now because the people haven't died, but some of them are like, holy fuck, that would make for the best movie or the best episode on a podcast. But I can't let that go until that person's died. You know what I mean? So And do I trust anybody else? No, I trust nobody. Yeah. I trust nobody.
Well, that's understandable. It's like Sky said before, though, it must be such a burden for you holding these secrets and then to sort of try and find trust in someone else that wants to join your business to be able to do the same thing. It'd be very hard.
Well, yeah, it is hard, but at the same time, it's also what a humbling fucking experience and ability to hold somebody's secrets that, dying and they can't even tell their closest confidant or loved one their deepest, darkest secrets, and I get to hold that and then reveal it later on.
Yeah.
And it's pretty special.
I was going to say it's pretty special that they have that trust in you that you're going to look after them and their wishes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And to build that trust has been enormous. So to shatter it over one story, fuck you, I'm not shattering nothing.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. So you were saying
all my secrets.
Yeah, I'll fill you in on all Sky's secrets after this episode, Bill.
I'm sure there's more than you know, mate.
I reckon there is too. So you were saying you have months where you have a couple, months where you have none. On average, what do you reckon you have? What would you do a year? How many of these events would you do a year? All these disclosures?
12, 15.
Wow.
12 to 15, but again, they're not just all funeral crashes, it's home sweeps, which is a very integral part of my business. I mean, imagine how difficult saying to me, excuse me, son, can you put that sexual in nature? I don't want to tell you what they are, it's too embarrassing, but can you also get my computer and my will, you know, which is fine. And then I'll sit with those people and I go, look, at the end of the day, everyone's got a fucking vibrator or this and that. And they'll turn around and they'll have a bit of laugh and a bit of chuckle and they'll go, yeah, but you haven't seen a vibrator this big.
Okay. Holy shit. Yeah. There's a suction cup on the end of that.
But that's the fun. But that's the fun and banter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I bring out in those people. And they're on the deathbed, but they get to have a bit of a giggle. Yeah. And when I return it to that person, because I either return it to them or I incinerate it. And it's all on video. It's all done professionally. So when I return it to them, the look on their face is like, oh, thank you so much. My daughter would have been horrified seeing that, or my son would have been hated me, you know. So it's a gift, and it's something that I provide these people. And, okay, I get paid to do it. But, I mean, I've got to travel, go there, find the items, bring them back, do what I got to do. But, I mean, it's still a service. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. I don't do it out of the kindness of my heart. Although I have done it out of the kindness of my heart, because some people don't have a cent and they're still embarrassed and they need that done. So I'll fucking do it.
Yeah. And I'm sure sometimes when you bring it back to them while they're still alive, they look at it fondly, thinking of the memories that they had with that giant vibrator.
you're a definite bitch, you are.
We're a pack of stupid bitches collectively together.
A bitch with a Z on the end.
But you know what you were talking about. But what you were talking about before about how it takes a certain type of person. I mean, it takes a certain type of person to be a PI, right? That's not an easy job. Not everyone can do that job. Like, you have to be able to have some difficult conversations. You have to go in there and put yourself in situations that aren't, comfortable, and so that's not for everyone anyway, right? So you've already got all those skills because you've been doing it for so long.
I think my life was set up from the day I like I said before in earlier the podcast, when I turned 8, I think my life was set up to be the coffin confessor.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those journeys that I've been through so much in my whole life that to come to this point in my life where I get paid to tell people to fuck off years and years ago saying, find something you're good at and get someone to pay you to do it. So I'm sitting back going, how good's that?
And
it's the people's last say. They get to have their last word. And, it's through me, but it's still their last word. It's what they wanted.
Exactly.
Sit down, shut up, or fuck off.
I'd love to be a PI.
You found your
niche. I would love it. I don't think I've got what it takes. But I would love to do it.
I've got to say, though.
It would be a fucking cool job.
It is a cool job, but I've got to say, and we'll get back to the reason why I guess I really reached out to you guys, which is I've got to say that I listened to the podcast and I was really excited to hear you guys speak about what I do, and I was listening to previous podcasts that you've done. They've all been great and they're sensational.
Thank you.
But the one one thing I've got to say is that there was a part in there that, and it was a gentleman that disclosed that he slept with his neighbour, right? And he wanted me to come out and say that he'd slept with his neighbour, and he wanted me to out his neighbour. Now, at the end of the day, I wouldn't out his neighbour, and he got a bit upset about it because his neighbour was a married woman with children, and I didn't want to out her and destroy her life. And that's something I look at before I take on any job. So I said to him, I said, how about I tell everybody that you slept with a neighbor, and it could have been man or woman, because you live in an apartment block and there's fucking plenty of people around you. I don't want to out your neighbor because at the end of the day, she's got a family. And he says, oh, but she's a bitch. She wouldn't leave her family for me. And I go, I get that. I get it. But at the end of the day, do you want to go to your death knowing that you've fucking destroyed a family?
Yes.
And he says, well, not really. And I said, well, let's think about this for a second. You know, I said, so I want to put it out there that, yes, you slept with a neighbor. Could have been man or woman. And it could have been fucking brilliant. Best time you ever had. How about we say that? And he was like, okay, that sounds cool. And I said, and that way we keep her integrity and her respect.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, well, let's do that, Bill. And since that day, I've always, as much as I say I don't give a fuck about those left behind, I do have a respect thing and a regard for those left behind, because if they haven't done anything wrong and if they've just had a fucking intimate affair with somebody, okay, fucking it is what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be exposed at a funeral. It doesn't need to be exposed as the worst in all. I mean, she didn't leave a family for him.
Yeah.
He's upset about that, but you don't take that to your grave. Yeah. You've got fucking more issues, more important issues than that to worry about.
I remember that part of the podcast where I was saying I referenced that story, and I think we both said in the podcast, Sky, oh, like how terrible it was, and that he's the person who's passed has ripped that woman's life to shreds, blah blah blah.
I think that was me. Like that.
But yeah, that's just what we found on the internet. What I found on the internet,
my 15 minutes of
research. Yeah,
yeah, and that's the thing, you know. I've just got to clarify that is that there is I do have empathy and sympathy and respect, and I'm not about to destroy another person's life just because they had a blow and go. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Exactly. You know, well, I'm glad you set the record straight on that. That's excellent. That's a nice piece for us.
And do you know what I find really cool is that you are such a professional too. Like you've got these standards that and things that you won't cross. Like I just think that's really cool. And like you were saying before about the videos and how you do it all above board. Like I think that considering you've created this and this is something that's originated from yourself and from that conversation with Graham, you know, in 2008, like it's done so professionally, like it's really fucking
well. Cool. Yeah, it sort of, and it sort of had to be because I needed to show people that it is a professional business, it is trusting, and it is an integral part of my being. I might have had the worst childhood and the worst upbringing anybody could ever have, but you know what? I've never ever used it as an excuse, and I'm never going to be a victim. I'm always a survivor, and yeah. I guess at the end of the day, I need people to know that they can do it. And I used to hate people saying, if I made it, you made it. Well, I didn't have a mummy and daddy that had $1 million behind me, you know, so that used to piss me off. But I've got to say, I came from nothing. My wife and I lived in a tent with kids. We had nothing. Yeah, and today people's mortgages are fucked. Everything's fucked in the world. Everyone's doing it hard. I've been there. I've done it.
So I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, really.
So, you do have kids?
I've got six grandchildren under four.
Oh, wow.
So,
Jesus, cool.
They all call me.
Yeah.
What do they all call
Popeye.
You?
Popeye.
My dad's a
you am what you are what you are. That's what it's. I am what I am.
I am
eat
what
all
I
the
am.
Spinach.
Yeah.
You know what? I used to say, you know, when you have those fucking people that yell out, oh, you're a cunt. And I used to turn around and say, yeah, you are what you eat. And they go, yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it.
I don't remember eating a fucking legend. Yeah.
So a lot of people used to say to me, oh, yeah, I know, Billy. I called him a cunt once and he told me he is what he eats.
Yeah, look, like through what you've been through and shit, the important thing is you are still here now and you're able to fucking provide this service and doing such great things for people.
But you know what the best thing about it is? I know more people dead than I do alive. So when I die, I'm going to have a fucking party, man.
Exactly. They'll all be up there waiting for you. Yeah.
I haven't ripped one of them off, which is great. I haven't stolen or fucking told a bad story about any of them. So they're all going to be happy that I've done disclosures and done the right thing. And when I get there, there's going to be some motherfuckers there that will want to run to hell when I get there. And if I'm in hell, they'll want to fucking get out real quick.
They'll run to the other hell.
Well, you know, our next question was really about what's off limits for you. Is there anything off limits? I think you've touched on that a little bit already, but is there really anything that you won't touch, or is there any time you've been in a situation where you've gone like, whoa, no, I can't do this?
Oh, look, I suppose in 2021, the most confronting was a lady wanted me to be her suicide note.
Oh, God.
And I found that confronting. Mm. But then I thought to myself, well, I'm the coffin confessor. I'm here to tell a story. And if your story is suicide, then it's a story. So I had to think hard about it. And then I thought, yeah, fucking oath. If you've got a reason to go, it's your reason. It's your life. It's your death. It's up to you. That was the confronting part. But I ended up doing it, and it wasn't hard. It was something that I took on because I met the lady and I liked the lady, and it was her choice and it was her decision, and I respect her choices and decisions.
So she did it in the end.
Of course. Of course I tried to say to her, look, you know, there is help. There's help out there. But at the end of the day, I've been through it. I've stood on death's door three times before I turned 17. So I know about the help and everything out there. And it might be a false hope and everything, but there's something, you know. So that was very hard for me to deal with. But then I dealt with it and I moved on. And I thought, well, a suicide note's just a note. And I'm just the fucking reader of that note. I'm a messenger. So that's what it is. I guess the other part was the confronting. I go to viewings and I place items in coffins, but I'd never expected somebody wanting me to pinprick their body and use it as a pincushion because they were petrified of being buried or cremated alive.
Right. Look, I can get that. Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I ended up getting it too, you know, and I used his body as a pincushion. Yeah. And like he didn't wake up, thankfully, you know, for me anyway. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's what people want, their wishes and their desires and whatever they want. You know, placing items in coffins like mobile phones, photos, rings, jewelry, whatever. I'll do that. But even you and I know that they don't stay in there because they get stolen or removed before they go in the furnace.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate the fucking funeral business. I think it's a money-grabbing prick of a business. Yeah. It's no different to, you know, lawyers. They're blood-sucking parasites. Everybody's after the dollar. You know, that's what the whole world's about, is the dollar.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Have you ever heard that story about people who die on boats and how if they die, like back in the olden times where if they died at sea, they wanted the hook shoved through their nose before they got pushed over to sea just to make sure that they were dead, just to confirm that they weren't being pushed over, like partially alive. Like, and then the person who had to do it was someone who preferably knew them at least a tiny bit on the ship because, you know, no one wants to drown, I guess. And so they're like shoving a hook through their nose and that's how they tie them up before they throw them out to sea.
It's a proof.
They don't want to be accidentally thrown over if they're not dead.
Yeah, but imagine living with a hook up your nose. Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
I know. I saw that in an episode of Outlander, by the way.
That's what I was thinking. Can't you just slap me a couple of times? I'll be fine with that. Yeah.
Just squeeze my
ball. But if you're sick,
pierce my nipple. It's fine. It's fashionable.
You don't know. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So how do you find...
Hook up the nose.
I think it's your turn, Vino.
So how do you... How do you find that family and friends generally react to the revelations to the funeral? Like, obviously, you say that when you get up and say, hey, I'm the coffin confessor, this is what's happening, they usually agree and go, okay, what you got for us? But when you start saying the revelations, what's usually the reaction? Is it giggles? Is it shocks?
I don't know. It's too quick. I do it so quickly. And so I guess... you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I've got footage of you doing it. I'm going to expose you. I'm like, okay, I give a fuck.
Go for it. Yeah, that's promotion.
I couldn't give a flying fuck. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. And then other people have got to me and they've gone, fuck, you know what? I had my phone out. I was ready to press play, but I was so in the moment that I forgot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you
do
it
that again?
That
would be
me. Like, no, oh, totally. I'd be like, you know, go, go,
so,
go.
Yeah. So it's right fucking, it's in their face and it's really quick. So basically what I do is I open the envelope, I read it quickly, I do what I do, and then I put the letter back in the envelope and I place it on the coffin and I leave. So I don't know if the funeral continues. I got no fucking idea.
You
I
do
just
your
leave.
Piece and go.
I do my piece and I'm out. So I couldn't give a fuck about those left behind. Now, obviously, a couple of people reached out and said, oh, look, you're at my grandfather's funeral. Thanks for doing that. And it's nice to hear that, but I don't respond. I don't reply because it wasn't them. I wasn't engaged by them.
You're and still there might be a couple of client. People.
Exactly. And there's a couple of people that'll write to me and they go, if I ever see you, I'm going to shoot you. I'll reply to them and say, well, this is my address. Come and see me.
Love
you know, so those ones I don't give a fuck about. But the other ones I'm sort of like, I don't reply because it
I'm
isn't about
packing,
them,
bitch.
You know, so, and I don't have a problem, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nothing that I've not dealt with. I mean, I went to jail when I was 17 years of age at Bogger Road fucking prison. So
Bogger
you want to come
Road,
at me, you want to come fucking at me really hard because, I've been there.
Yeah. We did a ghost tour through there a few years
ago.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. Some weird fucking theatrical guy hosting
us. I live with the
us.
Fucking ghost tour.
I bet, yeah. Have you seen that they've got...
Scary times, right?
Have you read the book Boy Swallows Universe at all?
I was just going to say that, Vino.
Yeah, and how the mention of Bogger Road throughout that.
Yeah, I got asked to be a part in that, and I declined.
Really?
What
part?
I declined because I said to him, look, I'd been there, I'd lived there, I knew what it was all about, and I'm not about to be a screw. If that's what you want to be, I'm not going to play that part. Yeah. And secondly, I've already signed with certain producers about my story, so I can't, can't get that boundary.
We have a question on that too coming up.
Excellent. We do.
I bet you do.
I keep adding heaps of questions in. So you
That's
strike
cool.
me as maybe someone who follows the football. Are you an NRL supporter?
It's okay if you're not. I'm not.
Look, I got to say, up until, I'm going to say 20 years ago, I was avidly involved in sport and love sport. Ever since, and anybody that knows me knows that I hate and I fucking detest gambling. Right. And since gambling took over sport, I don't watch it. I don't get involved in it and I don't support it. I fucking hate gambling. It destroys too many lives. It was the crux of why, whilst I lost my mother, is my mother's a fucking hereditary gambler. I fucking can't stand it and it destroyed our whole lives. So, yeah, I really detest gambling. If football came back to what it used to be, which was you go to work, you come, you train and you play footy and that's a good thing. Great. But this gambling bullshit, you know, it's just, not on. And now they've got ads, haven't they? They've got ads saying, beware, or do you know what you're gambling? I mean, fuck off, idiots.
And they do that right after they tell you how to bet on all the fucking, bet on everything. But don't forget, it ruins lives.
Fucking
so you don't follow
lives,
the Gold
right,
Coast Titans?
Caucus. No, I don't follow any football. Like I said, my mate was Peter Jackson. He played for Australia. He played for the Broncos. He played for he was a legend of his time. He took his life when he came out and said he was abused at the Southport school. And it was because of him I took up the pledge and said, you know what, I was too, and this is what I'm going to do. As for the Titans themselves, the football team, I mean, good on them for trying to make it and do what they do. I mean, I don't have anything against people trying to get somewhere in life, but fucking hell, you know, I don't like the betting part of it. That's all. It's just all the betting and the bullshit.
You've seen the effects of what hardcore gambling does on a family firsthand.
Oh, fuck. I've seen the actual football players. I've seen the footy players. I've seen fucking people like, you might have seen it yourself on telly. There was an interview one time with fucking, Broncos player, well-known Broncos player, was running through to put punts on the fucking horses and that, you know, and he hits his head and he gets knocked out and there's, isn't that funny? Well, it's not fucking funny because he's trying to put a bet on. I mean, it's just not funny. Yeah. None of that shit's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I'm not into that. But anyway, that's me. Yeah.
That's fair enough.
I live and let live.
I've lost track of where our questions are, by the way.
You're up to ethical considerations.
Oh, okay. So this is one of Bino's. Are there ethical considerations or boundaries that guide your interactions with the deceased?
We've sort of covered talking about the suicide note and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever faced resistance or skepticism from funeral organizers, or family members about your role?
Fuck yeah.
You touched on it a little bit, but tell us the full story.
Funeral organizers hate my guts.
I bet. This is my show. I go in there, my moment.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, they think it's about them as well because they've been paid to do something. Just because you've been paid to do something doesn't mean it's fucking your thing.
And it's what the person wants. Yeah.
And the person that died didn't pay you to do it, mate.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, I do say, there's a lot of being converted now. A lot of try to hire me to be a bit of a spokesman for their you know industry, but I'm not up for sale. You know, I am who I am. I don't. I'm not selling my soul. Not to them anyway. You know, I'll say that for the person later on in life.
Who's employed you? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And okay, if a family's employed a certain funeral, you know. Company to do certain things, that's fine, but I'm actually engaged by the deceased, so you can fucking take a back seat.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, totally. I'm gonna skip ahead a couple, Bino, if you're okay with it, because I think we've covered a couple of them, and talk about the disruptive situation. You okay with that one?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
So what situation have you found where you have spoken on behalf of the deceased and it has been the most disruptive and caused the most shit show?
Yes, give us the juicy details now.
Oh, that'd be the bikie's funeral where I actually disclosed that the guy going in the grave was gay and that his best and that his lover was in the audience.
Yeah.
The lover's name was Steve. Now did you reveal the name Steve? Well, he told me to say Steve because there'd be five Steves there.
Right.
And in fact, there's probably half a dozen Steves there and none of the Steves like me.
All the Steves are looking at each other going, it's not me, bro. It's not me. It's not me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We do cover that in the segment we did too. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to say, when that first happened, when I interrupted that service, you know, a couple of the boys come over to me and they said, look, you know, you're going to end up in the hole with him if you fucking keep going. And I'm going, you know what, mate? I've got a job to do. I've got to do it. It's on behalf of your friend. And if you got to do what you got to do, then do it. But I've got to keep doing it. And they're like, fuck, you got some balls, mate. And I'm like, no, I've just got a job to do, mate. It's your fucking friend. It's your loved one.
You do have some balls, mate.
Let me say it, you know.
So at the end, they could turn around.
Yeah, well, at the end, they said, look, we'll hear him out. And if we like what he has to say, we'll let him go. If not, he joins fucking brother in the hole. And I'm like, well, it is what it is, you know. And but that's what I opened with, you know, I'm gay. And, Steve's in the fucking crowd, you know. But I got to say, you know how I said before that I don't listen to anybody afterwards. But this guy actually gave me a call 2 weeks after and he said, Bill, I said, yeah, mate. He said, my name's so-and-so. I said, yeah, mate. He said, that was my husband, basically, that you buried the other day and at the bikie's funeral. And my name isn't Steve. He said, but I'll be definitely hiring you to do my funeral. And I've got to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was great.
Oh, nice.
I said, thanks, mate. You know, so that was beautiful.
Quite liberating for him. And I bet you there was a couple of...
It was for him.
Yeah, and I bet you there were a couple of Steves in the audience looking at each other going, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Everybody's got skeletons.
So, yeah.
Do you just walk up and, like, go, there's a podium there? Like, I'm thinking of some of the funerals that I've been to, and sometimes, you know, it's outdoorsy and there's people speaking. Do you just go, hey, I want to speak, and just walk, walk up and just grab the mic kind of thing, or do you tell them beforehand, or how does that work?
Oh, no, no, no. There's no one knows that what I'm going to do or say, and I don't walk up to a podium.
Yeah.
I just stand up and yell out exactly what I've got to say.
You stand where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Stand
wow.
where I am. The only time I've
got to
say...
Man, you do have balls.
So I've got to say, the only funeral I've ever actually crashed where I've gone up to the podium is the funeral of the man that he checked on his neighbour and he ended up getting shot and killed alongside two police officers. It was only about a year and a half ago here in Queensland.
Yes.
And it was pretty confronting standing in front of nearly the whole Queensland police force, his family and hundreds of other people. But at the end of the day, I crashed that funeral with the intent of saying that, look, while we all support him, we didn't know the man.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't know him. And he was just a neighbor checking on his neighbor to make sure everything was okay. And it was a very sad affair that he died. And it's okay for the police force to come out and say he was courageous and brave and everything else. And that's all fine. But me as a person and hundreds of other people wanted to know about this man. We wanted to feel his story and we wanted to share it.
Yeah.
And as sad as it was that the police officers died as well, we wanted to know that they were actually, you know, thought of in not just a capacity of they were on their job or it was just a neighbor checking a mate. These were actual living people. And they died for something that was so stupid and so bizarre. So it was a funeral I crashed in a way that I found it a loving and emotional funeral, but it was also one that I gave voice that I think I started by saying, whilst he was a great man to all of those people that knew him, I stand here on behalf of those that didn't know him, but we want to know him. We want to respect him. We want to care for him. We want to say how fucked it is in life that he got gunned down just for checking on his neighbor.
For a complete circumstance. You know?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the only one that I've ever been to and stood at the podium and looked out at the crowd and just seen a sea of blue uniforms and thought, oh, fuck, you know, well,
Jesus Christ.
But anyway, it is what it is.
Have there been any requests that you've had to refuse?
I don't refuse anything, mate.
I do remember it went during the podcast, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here too, during my 15 minutes research when I did the segment, that there's some people that will give you an envelope that you're not actually allowed to open or read until the day they die because there is real deep confessions in there.
Yeah, it's a crime. There's a crime. It's a committed. They're basically confessing to a crime. Now, if I know the crime, I've got to report it. But if it's put in an envelope, posted to myself, and I don't open it, so I don't know what the crime is. So I don't have to report it until the day of the funeral when I open the envelope and I read aloud the letter. And a lot of people will say it could be closure for somebody. Why don't you report it now? Well, that's the job of the coffin confessor. The job of the coffin confessor is to confess at the funeral, wake, or will reading. So it'll be done then.
And the closure comes then. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know what it is.
Despite authorities wanting to know.
It could be like I shoplifted like a lipstick one time, or, you know, it could be something really small, or it could be something massive, but it's not your secret to tell until they're ready for it to come out.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's right. Despite authorities wanting to know what it is, I can't reveal it until the day of the funeral.
Yeah. Have you had any funny requests or where a situation after you've done your confession on behalf of the deceased where it's ended up in laughter, pure laughter in the audience?
Look, there's a few that have been funny. I mean, even when I go to a church funeral and I'll say to the priest, and it's not, and I've got to separate myself again, okay, because it's not me saying it, although it is me saying it. I'm saying it on behalf of somebody. So I'll say to the priest, sit down, shut up, or fuck off in his own church. You know?
Oh, they would love that.
but it's the man in the coffin that didn't want a religious funeral. He told everybody he didn't want a fucking religious funeral, and his mum and dad got a religious funeral.
Yeah.
Now, his request was, if there's a religious funeral, I want you to tell him all the fuck off. I didn't want one.
Mm.
You know, and when I go in and I do that, half the crowd's there going, yeah, fucking oath. He didn't want to fucking, and I'm like, well, why the fuck are you sitting there all here doing nothing? Why aren't you guys getting up and saying something? You love the guy so much.
Yeah.
You knew what he wanted. Why didn't you get up and say, why are you allowing let's just take the coffin and fuck off? Exactly.
But the only thing that I love about religious funerals is the one where they do the one of my uncles passed away a few years ago, and he was deeply religious, and I had to sit through the whole Christianity
thing.
It was really full on because I'm not a religious.
Not my jam either.
I have my own personal religious beliefs, but they don't really conform to most of the religions. But then they did the car progression after. So, you know, where the cars follow each other and they drive from the church to the ground where they're going to be buried, and everyone, and like all the traffic, it was in the middle of Sydney too, and all the traffic stopped. You can see where I'm going with this, right? Because I want an elaborate funeral.
She wants a musical.
That's the thing I'm taking from funeral. That.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fact.
When I die, I want it all to be about me.
Well, it should
be. It is yours. It's your funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
If I have the coffin confessor, you'll get what you want.
Yeah, if I'm fucking dying, mate, seriously, you do what I say.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're next, Sky.
Okay, so where are we? Hang on. I've got to. All right. Tell us about the nicest request that you've had, the loveliest one.
The one that sticks out to me the most and the most loving one would be the lady that she had a friend that she had for 55 years. They went to school together. They were best friends. They loved each other dearly. They both had husbands and children. And she confessed at a funeral that she wasn't only in love with her best friend, but she wanted to have a relationship with her. And she loved her so much that she wanted to make love to her and be with her. And then after that was said and done, her best friend come up to me and said, oh, my God, I had no idea she felt that way. I felt the same way about her.
The sadness in that too, isn't it? Like,
there is deep sadness. Yeah. And the husbands both were not aware, but they weren't angry or upset about that. They weren't shocked at all. They just, one of them actually knew.
Forever.
Yeah. And it was very hard to listen to the other lady, and she come forward and said, oh, my God, why didn't she tell me? I felt exactly the same way. We could have eloped. We could have had fun together. Mm. We could have done this and that. And I said to her, well, why didn't you tell her?
Yeah.
And she said the same reason, I suppose.
Of course. And societal pressure, as she said earlier, societal pressure, all that
and
bullshit.
They were forced. And the thing is she told me they were forced to marry husbands because that's what society wanted them to do. Marry husbands, have children.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's hope for a better world.
So many people live their lives that way, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very, very fucked up at the end of the day, but there's still people that will continue to do it because it is what it is, and people are scared. Fear is the biggest thing with people. Fear.
And they're worried about what people will think, which is insane. Yeah. Like, you've got to live your life judgment, like, you know, you may not.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you may not have $1 million.
From the God. Yeah.
And you may work
but that's the most loving one.
Entire life, but that's nice. Speak your truth.
Mm. Mm.
So now, we kind of touched on this earlier, and we've heard about a potential Netflix series. So what is the scoop?
Give it to
us. Yeah, look.
We want to know everything.
I can't actually tell you, but I can't. Look, at the end of the day, yes, I've signed some deals. I've signed some deals. I can't say whether it's a movie, drama series, documentary, or a reality show, but what I can say is that...
I want to see a movie. I want to see a real-life movie about it.
It may not be a male that plays the role of a coffin confessor.
Interesting. So Damon Wayans isn't the person, all right, as we had reported.
I had a great chat with him. He's a great guy. And it was great chat, but I've had a lot of talks with a lot of people who are A-listers and everything else.
Nice.
I do like a few people that have been put forward, but then all of a sudden a couple of people have been brought forward out of the box just of late, and I'm like, holy fuck, they're going to be very interesting. And to play the role of the coffin professor, I'm looking forward to seeing who it will be in the end.
So why do you think they're looking at potentially making it a female role?
I could act in
role?
That. I could totes act in that.
I think the idea of a female is that it's a role that isn't just for a male. Like, for instance, let's say Australia makes the drama series, for instance, and it's a female. LA may make a movie and it's a male. England may make another series and it's a female male combined. You know,
it's sort of
across the board. Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty.
I think that's hot.
Exciting. I'm like, it's good to hear that your story's going to be on TV. I love most about is seeing you guys, you know, podcasts and interviews. You reach out to a different audience and they all get in touch with me eventually and they go, fuck, I saw you on this podcast the other day. The bitches were so cool. And I'm like, yeah, that was a cool interview. You know, it went on for a while, but all right.
We are cool bitches.
So my 17-year-old son, who's almost 18, right, he found out. So he's been a little bit. So we've been doing this podcast for 2 years now, just over 2 years. And as I said before, it started from us during COVID. We were in different states and we were getting drunk, you know, every Friday night, pretty much just as friends, like catching up, gossiping, you know, just getting drunk together during COVID. And then we were like, fuck this shit. Fuck, we're funny. We're going to make a podcast out of it. So that's how it happened, right? So my son is always like, oh, he's always like, oh, you're podcasting again. Oh, you'll never get famous unless you go on TikTok. Like, he has all these judgments. And then when he found out that you had reached out to us, he was like, whoa, mum, this is huge. Like, he's really famous on TikTok. Like, don't fuck this up. And I was like, son, please. Have a little bit more, faith in your mother.
This is what I want to – I'll give your son some advice. This is advice I give to a lot of people about social media. If your fucking story, if your life, if your fucking business depends on social media, then you haven't got shit.
Then you're
you
ain't us,
all right? It don't matter. At the end of the day, be true to yourself, right? Yep. Be true to yourself and you'll fucking evolve as you go along. You know what I mean? Mm. That's the only thing. Of course, we need the platforms, but don't depend on them to fucking make you famous, because at the end of the day, I'm the coffin confessor. I don't need to be famous for any bastard, you know, at the end of the day.
I can
go crash a funeral next week. I make my 10 grand. I'm fucking happy. I don't give a fuck if nobody knows. I couldn't give a flying fuck. But if you do know and I get to tell my story, all the better, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we joke that, like, in 10 years' time, we're still going to be doing this. And people are like, do you guys still do that podcast? And we're like, fucking oath we do. Every second Friday night.
Why not?
We do it. Exactly. Why are you listening, you fucker? It's been going for 10 years.
It's fucking brilliant. I love it. I reckon it's the fucking best. Yeah.
I love that.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And we're having fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it's about. It's all about the fun, isn't it? You know,
exactly.
You know, I put the fun in funeral.
You sure fucking do.
I'm putting that as the tagline. He puts the fun in funeral. Listen to this week's episode of Stupid Bitches Say What.
Yeah. Someone actually said this. Someone the other day said he puts the FU in funeral.
Fucking love it all.
I think we've been through all our questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us? Like, have we not covered anything that's really important to you that you want to just get out there?
Fuck no, I've done everything. I when I wrote my book, I got told, honestly, the publisher said, you better put everything that you have your secrets in the book because people are going to come out and fucking tell stories. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. So I did that. I sort of, coffin confessor, my story. And that's how the book sort of goes. And I did that purposely so no one could sell stories about me, you know.
Perfect.
But at the end of the day, I really couldn't give a fuck. You know, I'm like you guys, you know, and like probably 90% of Australians that we couldn't give a fuck if our Prime Minister got shot tomorrow. We couldn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? There's always another one around the corner.
He's no JFK.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's so sad, though, isn't it? Bring back Gough Whitlam.
Well, I couldn't give a fuck about any of them, you know. And I'm like most Aussies, we just fucking live and let live, you know, just cruise and move on. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, we live in a very lucky country. We are very lucky people, but we also have a lot of prejudices.
Oh, we do, yeah.
So that's how's it. Your port going? You how much it. Port have you drunk through this whole episode? Because I've drunk a whole bottle of wine nearly. Yeah. Have you drunk it a shit ton
of port? Yeah, 750ml bottle gone.
Yeah.
Fucking off my face.
I love it. Cheers.
Has anyone invited you to come and get drunk with them on a podcast other than us?
Yeah, no, that's putting me
and
on
you're
the
okay
spot,
to lie.
Yes. Yeah, look, you know what? I don't give a fuck what the podcast is. I always drink.
Yeah,
I drink on every podcast, so I don't care. You know what I mean?
Cool.
I just drink.
But we actually encourage it. Yeah. We're like, come get drunk with us and tell us your stories.
Which is cool because, I mean, you know, most of the time people tell the truth when they're drunk anyway, don't they?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Most of the shit comes out then, so.
We always tell the truth.
Exactly. You don't, you know, if you tell the truth, you don't have to fucking remember your story. It is what it is.
Exactly. If you're going to lie, you need a fucking good memory.
Oh, fuck yeah. And you're not going to get anywhere anyway.
Yeah.
You'll never get anywhere by
lying.
You know, karma always come and kick you in the ass one day.
It does. Yeah. It does. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Bill. We really, really appreciate
it's been cool.
You sharing out your stories with us.
Mate, it's been a fucking laugh. I've been wetting myself. Like, honestly, you are a funny bastard. You really are.
You were right up our street when it comes to fucking language and fucking truth and honesty and everything. It's great.
There you go. And now you know why I'm the coffin confessor.
Exactly, exactly. I'm going to send you an email tomorrow.
We do.
P.S. I don't know when I'm going to do
that,
but I need your services.
That's all right. I don't know all your secrets, Beano Sean Hipkins.
And I can't wait to tell you to tell Sky to get the fuck out of my fiance. No, I'm kidding.
I'll be
it's
like
funny,
one of those guys.
Actually,
is
one
like,
of the funerals
no.
I just did.
Go.
One of the funerals I just did, I just had to attend. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to attend and stand there next to the coffin and not say a word. And after it, I just had to walk out. That was it.
Perfect. Well, just like a bouncer. Sit down.
People are like, who the fucking lady that was in her 80s? And I was like...
She just wanted this like super tall, good-looking fella to just stand there and just be like, yeah. What up?
I know this.
Yeah,
bitch.
I'm in my 80s. I'm dead. But this is one of my friends. He's here for me.
Well, yeah, and I was there for her. But at the end of the day, nobody else knew why. And I certainly didn't know why either, to be honest with you. I just did what I did.
Collect the check. See you, bitches. I'm out.
It's totally That's something right. I would do.
I get paid before they go. I'm pretty right. It's all good.
I love it. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Stupid Bitches Say What. We hope you enjoyed listening to us chatting to Bill Edgar, the coffin confessor, as much as we did. Now that we've had a bit of a laugh together, hopefully you might join us again for a follow-up episode, Bill, especially after the Netflix series drops. If you're looking for more content in Bill and the interviews he's done, Google coffin confessor and you'll find them all.
Ho, ho, Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. And remember to like and subscribe to all our socials and share the fuck out of this episode. And if you're whining, you're winning. Good night, Bill. Good night, stupid bitches.
Good night, Bill. Good night, you stupid bitches.
Good night, bitches. Thanks so much for having me and hi to all your listeners and take care. Merry Christmas and stay safe. If I'm in Brisbane, I'll give you a call and we'll catch up for a drink.
Do you know our socials?
All right, guys.
I'd love that. We should totally get on the ports together.
Right. Say hi to your horses for me.
All right, guys. Take care.
And your wife.
Yes.
Bye, Bill. Oh, you've been
definitely.
The best.
Definitely.
See you, mate.
Okay. See you, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, that stupid bitch. He's a stupid bitch. What a stupid bitch. That stupid bitch.